Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walters Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Oh boy, there's just a lot going on. And I guess if there wasn't much going on, I wouldn't be doing this program. I'd still be doing the ministry program, which I hope you have a chance to hear and listen to with some regularity. I hope you'd be blessed, called Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. So, as I start with good news here, this program is basically all good news. It just, I've given a title to it. It deserves a title, and I'm going to call it The Incredible Donald Trump. I cannot fit into this program all the things that he has done that are noteworthy. I've stopped at 20. Send this to them. Who cares if they get offended? It's time they heard the truth, and if the truth is offensive, so what? Isn't that what Jesus said? You know, it's the truth to the unsaved is a rock of offense. It to the unsaved, the rock crushes them. To the saved, the rock is their support. In the first case, you're underneath it. In the second case, you're on top of it. All the difference in the world between life and death, spiritually speaking, and sometimes in the natural as well. Well, I can't say that this first item here today is a consequence directly to Trump's presidency, but it actually is. I mean, it's at least indirectly, but I have to go back to 2016 to make the connection, which would sort of make this 21 reasons. But there's a Colorado late-term abortion clinic. Late-term, right? Killing them as they come out. You make them, we scrape them. No fetus will beat us. That's their motto. The child child doesn't even have a chance to run for his life from the murdering abortion doctors with their knives and scalpels and suction tubes and all these people that actually have their ticket paid for them to hell unless they repent big time. And there is that repentance that can be done. I mean, who was it? I can't even think of the guy's name. He got saved, but after, what, overseeing 75,000 abortions or something? I don't remember. It was a huge number that he supervised. But Colorado late-term abortion clinic closes after 50 years. 50 years they've been doing late-term abortions. 50 years they've been killing kids that were viable. Kids that wanted to get out, wanted to have a life. I can only presume. I mean, who at the tender age of anything under 10 wants to die? Or 20, maybe, for that matter. Yeah, you got some young suicides, but this is murder. These are executions. These are horrific things, and it closed. Is this a Trump effect? Well, it certainly is, to the extent that, first of all, he appointed justices that enabled the dismantling of Roe v. Wade. You can still have an abortion at the state level, which is why Colorado continued to kill kids. But the political climate is such that the appetite for abortion is waning. Abortions are down nationwide. It has become countercultural. There's a bit of a cultural shift. It isn't quite the pro-life headwind that it's been. Are we there yet? Of course not. Because you got Gavin Newsom. You know, he's got blood on his eye teeth. You know, he's the one that makes Count Dracula look pro-life. And Washington, and New York, and Hawaii, and Colorado. They're in Illinois. These loser states that love baby blood. because they call it a right. In fact, in California, there are a number of them that say it's a righteous act. But this one closed. And because it closed, it means they aren't killing any more children who are clearly viable. And the business must have been going down. And why did it trend down? Just because of a cultural shift? Well, there is a cultural shifting. It hasn't shifted completely. But the monologue that you hear Trump talk about, he's pro-life. Not so overtly that, so outwardly that it's as central to his message wherever he's speaking. But it has to be there or he wouldn't have appointed the judges he appointed. That's a no-brainer. So anyway, this would seem to me to be a Trump-related thing. Just a couple other things. I'm going to pop in here before we get to what I think would be number two, or maybe it's number one. AOC's out there warning the Trump administration is going to have a problem if more Democrats are arrested. Well, AOC, your occasional, what was that? I don't know, occasional cortex or something. I can't remember what that thing was that somebody gave her the new meaning of the acronym AOC. I got to tell you something, AOC. Overwhelmingly, people who get arrested are Democrats. Don't give me this yin-yang about the Trump administration is going to have a problem if more Democrats are arrested. Far more Democrats as a percentage of the population get arrested and go to jail. They're less moral. They're less intelligent on the average. Yeah, I stick with that. I mean, it was hilarious. I should have saved it. It was a shot of all the police lineups, all these police lineup photos. And it had, oh gosh, it must have had 25 to 30 guys in a police lineup, but different police lineups. This was just kind of a montage, if you will, of them. All wearing Obama t-shirts of different kinds. Yeah, obviously sizes, colors, and so forth from different years. Most criminals vote Democrat. And if the three Democrats, if that's where her focus is, that got arrested storming the ICE facility and the big publicity stunt, well, then let's compare that to all the Republicans that got arrested, some of them with charges far, far greater than merely trespassing in the Capitol. Sitting in jails, prisons, my goodness sakes. The weaponization of the DOJ that's gone after Republicans, whether it's a guy protesting at the pro-life center, that's all he's doing, and he gets hit with 17 armed FBI agents. We could go down the line of all the Republicans that have got arrested. How about Donald Trump himself? Not arrested, but you've been trying to sue him and put him in prison. All politically motivated. So shut up, AOC. And if you are the future of the Democrat Party, I guess it ought to have somebody who's kind of stupid, actually, but concurrently demon-possessed. And, of course, if we end up with her, goodness sakes, that's a whole other program. But let's move over here before I move on to Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, who says, quote, "I'm not saying if I knew Biden was fit for office in early 2024. That's it. That's all he'll say is, I'm not going to say if I knew Biden was fit. Obviously, he wouldn't make that statement if he truly thought Biden was fit. He would not make that statement if he did not know that Biden was unfit for office. Look, Chuck E. Cheese, you don't get to take the Fifth Amendment. Man. One other quick comment. You know, I commented last week here, and we're going to go, I got to speed this up, about the Episcopal Church. And I think it's some queer guy that runs this program because it's a very queer church that, I mean, they celebrate sodomy and blah, blah, blah. They stink. They suck. But would I go preach in an Episcopal church? Absolutely. I don't care if when I got done, everybody had gotten up and left. I would drop the hammer if I got had a chance. This is probably why I've never gotten asked. But because they ended their partnership with the feds to resettle refugees, because now some of them are white. You've heard this on the news. I mentioned it last week. But I had this simple thought. For a simpleton maybe like me, it took me a whole week to come to this after I first talked about it. Doesn't that make the white Episcopalians racist? I mean, are they not racist as whites for refusing to resettle whites? I mean, isn't racism a preference for a certain race on an unjustifiable basis? Maybe, well, yeah. Well, they apparently prefer anything but white. So the Episcopal Church is, in fact, officially a racist denomination. I love this from RFK Jr. here. This is another great thing. Trump's appointment of his cabinet people. But what they have accomplished, it's unbelievable. But RFK Jr. just taken this stance here. He's praised Trump about being the most willing person to stand up to the true oligarchy. And who are they? You see, AOC and Bernie Sanders have gone around this country on the oligarchy tour, and all it is an anti-Elon Musk. You say, well, he's really wealthy, and he's part of the oligarchy, and we're against that. We're against any wealthy, super wealthy Republican, especially the richest man in the world, coming out and having any kind of influence. Oh, yes, but let's ignore George Soros, and let's ignore Bill Gates, and let's ignore, until recently, Jeff Bezos, and a whole bunch of others. So the oligarchy tour is purely hypocritical, because the oligarchs, is what RFK points out, are the drug companies in association with key legislators. And, you know, this is, I thought this was really pretty touching. He has, in his children and I guess grandchildren, he's got those who do not support him politically at all. They're typical Kennedy, left wing, the left wing of the left wing in some cases. But this article said that even of his children were impressed with Trump's decisive action. Because you know what we've needed? That was a pound on the table. I don't know if you heard it. A man in the office. A gutsy man who knows and speaks what he believes without any reservation. Yes, he sometimes shoots his mouth off where he shouldn't. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, and I also said that's the only thing I got against the guy. He's sometimes not tempered. He's a little bit ill-advised with some remarks, but he speaks with conviction and strength, and even yin-yangs on the left are recognizing that. Wow. He just said that he highlighted how the pharmaceutical industry has been lobbying for drug pricing reform? Well, not really, because they're charging an arm and a leg. That's what Trump's executive order is about, which we'll get to in a minute. But the media has been complicit. It's a virtual incestuous relationship between the drug companies, the pharmaceuticals, and the media. I mean, what is it? I don't know if this is true today. It was only 6 months ago, because I remember doing this story on it, that something like 58 or 64%, it was over 50% of all the advertising revenue from CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, the usual, but also including Fox, not including Newsmax, comes from the pharmaceuticals. So do you think that they're going to bite the hand that feeds them and come out with stories about how this medication has caused autism, or maybe, or could we at least look into it? Can't we at least investigate this stuff without trying to gaslight everybody who has these questions? Well, you can't gaslight RFK Jr., can you? No, you can't, because he is in the catbird seat. He is in charge in that area. But I just said, I need to quote him. He said, there has never been a president more willing to stand up to the oligarchs, the pharmaceuticals, who through their extensive lobbying efforts and preventing meaningful drug pricing reform have put us where we are. So you see, it's not the Trump administration that's made up of oligarchs. Sorry, Bernie and AOC. It's you guys. It's your farmy buddies. Yeah. Okay. Actually, I think I'm on to about number three of what Trump has done. But so I don't get messed up, and because I got these written down in the order beginning with one, I'm going to start with one. When I get to the end and I finish with number 20, I'm going to say, there you go. There's 23, because I think that's how many we got. So the incredible Donald Trump. Number one, inflation is down and going down. Inflation is, do you know what it was? It was the last thing here for April came out on an annualized basis is 2.3%. When have you heard that number or anything close to it? Or, better yet, something even a little bit less than that. I'll tell you when last time you heard that was the last time Trump was in office. Joey No-Brains, Corn Pop, Biden, and the Democrats have been all about printing a gazillion bucks and spending them like they have no value, because it's questionable how much value they have, causing the inflation through all sorts of industries, giving people tons of money that they don't deserve through extended unemployment benefits, you name it, COVID subsidies, all this happy crapola that they think that therefore the common person, the common man and the common woman, when in reality, the left hates anybody that's not elitist. They're the most elitist jackasses out there. They really are. Their whole pitch is to be for the common man and the common woman, and doggone it, we're going to lower these prescription drug prices. I'm getting out of order here, but I guess this is number two now. That's been the pitch for Bernie and AOC and everybody on the left. Lower these drug prices. We're going to lower. This is what we're going to do. It's just the same old hypocritical crapola being pitched to low-income people and what did Rush call them? Low-information voters. I think that's what he called them. God bless you, Rush. Man, we miss you. I don't know if you really have any idea what you launched back in, 1989, I think, is when he came on the air. None of us, including moi, would be on the air in all likelihood had it not been for Rush Limbaugh. Now, we would have gotten a podcast, but that's a relatively new thing. Okay, 2.3%. Business development is up like you can't believe. There's been, I can't think of the number, how much, I want to say it's $500 billion, and it might be $600 billion that has been pledged by some U.S. corporations, but also foreign corporations, like Honda, to expand where? In the U.S. He's got manufacturing coming back from Mexico. Too bad. So sad, you guys. We need jobs for American workers. We're not going to sell our soul out for a few bucks. Some people will. I know there are going to be some people who say, well, okay, I can buy this cheap piece of China crap here for a buck, and it's going to cost me $3 to buy an American one made out of not plastic, but at least steel in part. I'm going to go with a cheap China crap. I understand that. I have done that for a while, but no longer. China, make some good stuff, have fair trade, I'm fine with it, so to speak. But the business development is booming. And I can tell that by looking at the rates of return that investors are getting for purchasing commercial property that they lease out. Just kind of a little niche of mine. And it was because bad business was bad. Prices of these properties had to go down to bump the return up to the investors of things like 8 and 9%. In a much stronger economy, an investor is going to be happy with a 4 or 5% return. If it's bad, why take the risk? The return had to be twice recently what it was 4 or 5 years ago, because of the risk associated, because of the business development, was down. And Barack Hussein Obama, I know, I can't believe it's me either. Well, besides saying that, he was the one who said, forget those manufacturing jobs, they're gone forever. They're gone, they're not coming back. Get out of the way, Baracky baby. What a pile of nonsense you are. Number three, all of these companies, not all of them, but a lot of them, dumping DEI. I own Costco stock, and I'm upset that they aren't dumping it. And I'm going to give them a little bit more time. They hit a certain price. If they haven't dumped it, then I dump Costco. I love the company's products, business model, and everything. Shop there all the time. Why wouldn't I if I actually had some stock? It's kind of interesting. This is totally an aside. But I've only had the stock for a couple of years. I wasn't in on it early by any stretch of the imagination, but it's been good so far. But I notice that when I'm a shareholder, if there's a piece of junk from one of the food kiosks left in the cart when I go there, I pick it up now and throw it away. If I see somebody who has bought an item somewhere in the store, picked it up, decided they didn't want it, and then ditch it six aisles away, I get upset. Don't. Look, I'm like one gazillionth owner. In fact, that maybe that's too high for my shares, my few shares. But I kind of take pride in something I actually have stock in. I just want them to knock off the DEI. Reason I have held on to it is that one of the DEI areas Costco does not get behind is queer hiring. They are way down in the Human Rights Campaign evaluation for what do they do for queer training and tranny this and that. They're not into that. Into the DEI on the racial and gender basis, yeah. But not tranny gender issues. So anything related to queerdom, they're not totally against it, but they definitely are not for it like a gazillion other Fortune 500 companies. Number four, the school districts, not all of them, but a bunch of them that would never have done this without Trump, that are dumping the tranny push. The schools that I read, they're going back to single-sex restrooms. And see what Trump has done. I don't. He's got to know he's done this. Is that he has given his? He's put himself behind people who haven't dared to come out. These other people feel like, at least at the presidential level and at the cabinet level positions, they've got the back of the administration. Administration has their back. I mean, I said that backwards. Too many backs involved. So let's back up. No. This is what people are feeling. Like, you know what? I can come out from behind the rock, from behind the tree. I can come out from the cave. I can say some things I never had the guts to say before because I'd get maligned, arrested, kicked out, what have you. People are saying it. And some people, enough people are doing it on school boards that they're dumping the crapola. And what is the left doing? The left is doubling down on genital mutilation. I mean, tripling down on all these loser things. And there are Democrats like Bill Maher and James Carville, and they're saying, knock off this garbage, you guys. If you want to lose every election for into the next millennium, keep talking about this crap. People don't want to hear about kids having their genitals mutilated. Because the most effective ad Trump had was that one shot, which I saw a number of times, but I only saw the one, where there are about five girls in basketball jerseys, four or five, and they're maybe about, I don't know, 5'9", 5'10", fairly tall for a girl. And next to them is this tranny, obviously a tranny, who's about 255, 275, and he's about 6'5". Just a shot of it. You saw the horror and the unfairness of that. So there's some school districts more on the all the time. Number five, the illegal invasion of this country is down by 95%. And in fact, it's down so much that at least what I've read, I don't know that this is true, but my sources tell me, which I have no sources other than the sources that you have, but I'm reading them, that the actual, right now, the worst invasion into the U.S. is on the northern border, not the southern border. Why? Well, we don't have a wall. We don't have the fence. We don't have the resources deployed. And it's a much bigger border. So that's interesting. But he's doing what he can. Number six, deporting people like crazy. Why the left seems to think that a winning strategy is bringing back MS-13 gang members who are tatted all the way up to their eyeballs and busy figuring out what girl they want to rape and then kill afterwards. Why is that a good campaign strategy? Again, Maher and Carville saying, you guys are bonkers, crazy. For continue, why don't you talk about something that you can do for people instead of having your entire platform focused on how can we beat up Donald Trump and what's the next a lie that we can tell about him? And then say it over and over and over again while we include a bunch of F-bombs in the delivery thereof. Number eight, Donald Trump. Not Joey Biden, not the Democrats. He's the one that got the last American hostage out of Gaza. The guy is amazing. He can't go anywhere without having an impact. And it is a positive one, except the people who, of course, have Trump derangement syndrome, and then they're out of their minds. Next one, he now has Europe paying more for their defense. And I've separated Europe as a whole because there's individual countries like Germany that's stepping it up as an addition to having NATO increase their defense spending. They're not in an exact overlay between the two. But the fact is they are both stepping it up. And why? Because of the incredible Donald Trump. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
I was chasing sun on 101 somewhere around Ventura. I lost a universal joint and I had to use my finger. This tall lady stopped and asked if I had plans for dinner. Said, no thanks, ma'am. Back home, we like the girls that sing soprano. 'Cause where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven.
That's for all our friends and supporters out in California, mostly SoCal, but all the way up to, Paradise, Oroville. And we've got supporters. Thank you to a supporter from just this last week in Solvang, California, where I was there and visiting. But so appreciated. I really do appreciate that. Okay, getting back to number 10. The Trump factor in Europe. That Europe is gaining some guts a bit here and there to reduce immigration. Trump has Viktor Orban's back, who is a great, probably one of the best prime ministers or president. I forgot which one he is. Let's just call him El Presidente. Make it easy. In all of Europe, in all of the world, he and Trump are good friends. They are so like-minded. It's all about make America great again, make Hungary great again. He doesn't put up with the garbage coming out of the EU, but Trump's impact on Europe in so many ways has certainly emboldened further Hungary and Poland and other countries to step it up where they can pull it off. Okay, next. Numeral, you know what? I don't know what 11 is in Spanish, so we're going to call it numeral 11. Which reminds me, I'm just going to throw this in, a little sidebar comment here, of reading about weather. I'm kind of a weather nerd, and there was a party that wrote in because there was a prediction of an El Nino coming. And this party wrote in and said, could you please tell me what El Nino means? And one of the people that responded to this this string said El Nino means the Nino. I don't know. I think that's hilarious. But anyway, back to numeral 11 here. Trump is absolutely a factor working behind the scenes, sometimes in front of the camera, but in this case, a little bit more behind the camera or just off stage altogether in the Putin and Zelensky meeting. Will it be successful? I don't know. But I can tell you this much. It's not anything that any Democrat, much less Joe Biden, was able to pull off. Could Baracky Baby Obama do that? Of course not. Putin absolutely despises Obama. And I don't think Zelensky has much use for him either. I don't think he's impressed with him. I don't think they think he's all that intelligent, frankly. This is a Trump deal. After all this time, and what's he been in office? 110 days? And they're talking. They're talking. You know, there's a passage in Scripture that, I think it applies here because we're also talking about the fact that Trump, this is another item I have down here, is a factor in getting India and Pakistan, or Barack would say Pakistan. Now, that's which is one reason why I say Pakistan. But anyway, got them talking. Got the, I mean, the extent to which he has succeeded in the ceasefire, which has already been broken in Kashmir, I think it is, a little bit. But the fact is he's engaged. He's engaged all over the world, it seems, where there are flare-ups, something bigger than just a regional dust-up, where there's the threat of war or war actually starting, where he engages to try to at least bring the two together. No, he's not sending in troops like the Democrats do, get us entangled in another war, and he was very clear throughout the campaign that the attempt to just settle disputes by sending in troops and money is a waste of personnel, a waste of money, and all it does is get us entangled in a way by which, if you remember the program, the man who passes by the way and meddles in a matter not of his own is like one who picks up a dog by the ears. Trump does not do that. He's an impact. He's a force. But he doesn't pick the matter up personally in the way of committing troops and resources and all those things. I mean, he hasn't yet. He's been one to say, look, let's protect our own borders instead of somebody else's. Let's fight our own wars instead of somebody else's. Why do we have to pick up a dog by the ears here in some place we have no business doing or being, I mean, or no. He is actually a really strong anti-war president. But man, don't cross him on that if there's something worth fighting for. What popped in my head here is this Babylon Bee thing I saw was, of course, you know, Trump got this $400 million Boeing 777 from Qatar. And you got to be doing something to get that kind of a prize. Now, maybe people say, well, they're trying to bribe him and all of that, and they think they can do that. I don't know. I can't weigh in on what the Qatarians are thinking and doing in that. But I love the Babylon Bee piece that said that Trump accepts the Imperial Star Destroyer from the Emperor Palpatine, which I thought, I don't know what movie or video game that's from, but you guys, you're just too funny. So, number 12. So he is this attempt, whether he'll be successful or not, I don't know, but he's attempting it. That's all he can do is attempt to eliminate this tax-privileged and or semi-exempt status of the poison Ivy League schools, or at the very at least reduce the funding. If they don't dump the woke policies and they don't knock off the anti-Jew policies, the Jew-hating universities, which is a poison Ivy League. Man. I mean, it's infected their curriculum on the campuses, the professors, the culture. You know, it brings up a question. Why on earth, with whatever they got, I don't know, $100 billion, why the heck are we giving Harvard any money anyway? I've never understood why you and I and other people have to make sure that some of our taxpayer dollars go to people who and pay for their education, which when they get out are going to start out at 150 or 200 grand. Why are we doing that? Could somebody explain that to me? Somebody other than a Harvard listener to this program. Number 13. Boy, pressuring the drug companies by executive order to drop the drug prices. This is something the Democrats, as I said earlier, have said they're going to do. They're all about that, the working man, the working woman, the common man. They're going to do that. They're going to do that. We're going to do it if you get us elected. Well, the problem is they can't seem to get elected, and when they do get elected, they don't do it, except in little twos and fews, bits and pieces. But leave it to Trump whether this withstands scrutiny. Do I think he has the authority to actually do that? I'm not so sure he does. People say, oh, he's acting like a dictator. I will take a righteous dictator to an unrighteous democracy, because an unrighteous democracy is not a democracy. A good king is a good king, like King David, King Josiah. Now, because you can't count that on the next person being the dictator, being wholesome and righteous and godly in any way, shape, or form, we, as our founding fathers, settled on the fact that we are going to have checks and balances, balance of power. We're going to attempt to curtail the evil that is seems to be endemic here in the human race by having one branch of government restrain the other branch. That's the idea. But right now, his executive orders are all on the good side. Next, number 14. Man, I got to hurry up here. Tariffs did not, but most marginally, affect the prices of goods. Man, all the networks that says that prices are going to go wild. Well, the inflation issues we have are still holdovers from Biden's stupidity and the Democrats' generosity with somebody else's money. That is fundamentally the most succinct definition of a Democrat, is somebody who is generous with someone else's money. But the tariffs really have not had that impact. And ultimately, the stock market is tamped down. Inflation is not going hog wild. Like I said, it's down to 2.3% on an annualized basis from the numbers from in April. Wow. Number 15. We have Trump meeting with a Syrian jihadi president. He did this on, was last Wednesday here. One day after announcing that the U.S. is going to drop sanctions against Syria, he's meeting in Saudi Arabia. He wants to normalize relations with Damascus, while Syria would explore, catch this, joining the Abraham Accords to normalize relations with Israel. I mean, on Wednesday, they had a half-hour closed-door meeting. We don't know what went on between the United States and Syria. They were face-to-face. The first U.S. president to be face-to-face with a Syrian dictator in 25 years. 25 years. It says here, quoting, Trump's outreach to Damascus, especially if he can get Syria into the Abraham Accords, can you imagine that, could prove long-term beneficial to the United States. A move could go a long ways toward diminishing Chinese influence in the Middle East and isolating Iran. Holy moly, Andy. Whoa. Oh, my gosh. You know, what's the scripture that applies here? Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers. The Democrats just got us into war. And all the left-wing peaceniks who somehow still support the left, I don't know why, when it's the Republicans that are trying to get us untangled, detangled, disentangled, I guess maybe that's the word, from all of these foreign affairs which we have no business being in and pursuing peace on a global basis. Why aren't more leftists voting for Trump? The first president to ever officially visit Qatar? A $1.2 trillion economic commitment. $1.2 trillion. Economic commitment coming out of the Middle East. Why not meet with your enemies? How do you solve problems? You don't just go in and bomb them. And you know what? Trump has been so good at what he does, whether it's from The Apprentice on down, the art of the deal president, something none of the Democrats know anything about, the art of the deal. I think he's just got confidence that when he goes into a meeting, he's going to have a positive impact. He may not get everything he wants. He seldom does. That's part of the art of the deal. Demand high and then settle for less. But go for more. Settle for less instead of going for less. And when you can't go upstream and get more in that environment. But that he's having this whirlwind tour through the Middle East. And in addition to Saudi Arabia, this is the next one. We have the possibility of five other countries joining the Abraham Accord. No wonder Israel loves Trump. Not just for the support economically and militarily and against Gaza and so forth, but because he has been the biggest peacemaker the Middle East has known basically ever. I mean, look, he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He formed the Abraham Accords in his first time there. I mean, he has been supportive of Israel at every stage. But now he's not confined himself to Israel. He's going to the people who are sworn enemies or have been historically, maybe not so much lately. Let's forget Iran. We'll probably end up having to nuke them or bomb them, and so be it. Unless the people rise up and throw out the mullahs and mullahs and imams and imams and my mom and your mom. But in any case, he's a peacemaker. And a peacemaker isn't necessarily one who succeeds to the nth degree, but it has to start with trying. And peace at any level. These people saying, I mean, goodness sakes, seeing these Saudi Arabians just standing at attention when Trump comes by. He is a big deal. And he's Mr. And why not? He's drill, baby, drill. Do you think Saudi Arabia? Do you think Iraq? Do you think Syria? Do you think they're into EVs? Do you think that, yeah, they got some solar energy, but their economy is built around oil? So you got a drill baby drill president coming over there. He already has their ear. Oh. The issue of the effective control of the Panama Canal. Boy, we got that. You know, he's forced the Chinese to, or reducing anyway, the forcing of Chinese money to be withdrawn, held back from entering into U.S. universities to corrupt their political science department as if they could be corrupted any worse. That's not happening. He's forcing Chinese money to stay out of the universities. I think it's number 18, which is actually maybe technically 21. Here's number 19, which is technically 22. When have you seen interest rates go down? Not since Trump's first term. Now, they're not down to where they were when he left office. It's a long ways, baby, from the stratospheric rates, which are all from excessive government spending in the wrong places. Government spending was the mantra for social woke programs through all sorts of agencies under a Democrat Congress. But no more. And the interest rates are already starting to come down. In fact, Trump's effect is so huge. This is my last one. I don't know how many of you watch RFD, Rural Free Delivery Channel. It's all about horses and farming and rodeos. It could not be a redder channel on cable or satellite TV. Check it out. Rural America is a companion channel. RFD stands for Rural Free Delivery, for those of you who are as old as I am, and those who used to be postal commissioners and so forth. I'm talking to one person out there, ran a post office. Well, anyway, RFD, like I said, it's got gospel music. It's got bluegrass music. It's got the Gaithers on there. There's all kinds of spiritual stuff, cowboys. It's everything that's red, white, and blue is that thing. And who is advertising on RFD? CNN, also known as the Communist News Network. Are they pushing the crapola that they have pushed into what they're known for? No, they're on there trying to spin a different kind of story that they think might possibly be appealing to a conservative listener. This is the Trump effect. To have the one of the most left-wing networks advertising, probably faking it, but who knows? I don't know. On the most, one of the most conservative networks out there with conservative appealing stories. And if people flip over to CNN and say, gosh, are they really changing? They're not stupid. They're going to find out that they're still left-wing retards. But if they have changed at all, they probably haven't changed enough. But if they haven't changed in the way that they are advertising that they've changed, those people from RFD and other stations are going to say, oh, forget it. I knew they were lying, but I checked it out. They're still the same hypocrites. Or, hey, they want listenership because they're tanking financially. So, man, we just go through all these things. So let's put all of this together because I need to wrap this up. So if you take, so what has Trump accomplished with a, from the Panama Canal to the NATO, upping their contributions on defense spending, to the EU, to tamping down the blow up in India and Pakistan, to the meeting between Zelensky and Putin, to Syria and Saudi Arabia and Iraq, and maybe, I mean, these countries, Lebanon, maybe joining the Abraham Accords. What does this all mean, putting it all together? Well, what it really means is that the effect, I've got kind of three comments here. I got to say it fast. The effect in every one of these situations is a decreased influence of China on the national stage. China's not the go-to country anymore for money, for support, for to be an no. Do they have great influence? Yes, they do. They aren't going away. But I think that this increased attention to the greatness of not only what America is going to be again, but the greatness with which Trump wants other countries to be great. That's what he's doing. He's not taking to them necessarily a threat. Iran, yes, but to others, a message of hope. This increased prospect of peace between India and Pakistan, the Middle East, China does not have the national cojones, in my opinion, to attack Taiwan. That's even been reflected in one of my more recent, I own so few stocks because I'm not very good at it, but Taiwan Semiconductor has gone up. I'm actually up in one stock. Taiwan Semiconductor has gone up about, I don't know, 15% since I bought it. They're going to build in the United States because Trump got them to put in, I don't know what it was, a $100 billion facility to start manufacturing chips in this country. But I don't think China's got the guts to attack a country, Taiwan, who has the back of the U.S. big time, instead of some blood sucker like Joey Corn Pop No Brains Biden, who simply lined his purse with Chinese money for selling out the U.S. Number three, this means ultimately putting all this together, that Donald J. Trump deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. And he deserves it so much that he should get it this year And if he accomplishes nothing more than everything I just read off today, he should get it each year that he's in office. Because every year that Donald Trump is in office, he's a deterrent to these bad guys. He's a deterrent to these countries that want to sink America, countries that want to ambush us and suck the blood out of our economy. He is a deterrent to all these other wars that they're kind of fuming, but have settled down. He's a deterrent. So as long as he's in office, he's a deterrent. As long as he's a deterrent, each year he needs to get the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, I'm sitting here thinking, do I have another 23 to come up with next week? No, I don't. I'm going to be traveling, and it's going to be a little different kind of a program. I might even be shorter. I may have to make it shorter, just because when I travel, this is hard. But God bless you. Sit tall in the saddle, America. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.